Blog Talk Radio.
Left in this place of us. Left in this place of sun. Make us one like you are. Make us one like you are. Make us one like you are. Fall to the feet of Jesus. And anything that takes away from openness, let it fall to the feet of Jesus. This is our refuge. This is our fortress. This is the place that we can hide under the shelter of the Most High. Breaking all the sneering, cheering, complaining. Breaking all the jealousy. Breaking all resentment.
Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Do I have my co-host? I unmuted you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Make sure you don't mute yourself on my phone this time, okay?
No, you'll have to do all the muting, but don't forget to mute me.
All right. Okay, so this, I should have done this sooner, but I had a dream again, of course. On the 19th of this month, is very, well, not strange, but it wasn't. All I can say is that when I woke up, I was like, yep, this is significant. And it just, it goes along with everything else we've been talking about for the last, well, I don't know, 6 months or so, maybe longer than that, since November of last year, I guess. But maybe especially since February. I don't know. Anyway, so I guess I'm just going to read it. And it started with this dream on the 19th, and feel free to take notes, everybody, if you want, when I start bringing scripture up. But so I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I can't remember what dream this was a part of or if it was a dream in itself. All I remember is that I was standing on a tall gray building that had multiple stories. I think it was a three-story building. It could have been, I'm pretty sure it was three stories now that I'm thinking about it. And I was standing on the middle one, almost certain of it. It was around the Fidalgo networking area, so in our town, which actually kind of coincides with the last dream. I think it was the show that I did, I Will Melt Them. So the same thing about, like you know, internet provider kind of thing. Anyway, okay, it was around the Fidalgo networking area. There were fires starting on the Cascades. They began in pockets and moved down the mountain and became one once it reached the outskirts of our town. The sky was filled with charcoal gray clouds of smoke, and they were tinged with orange from the fire. I can't recall clearly what I was doing, but I do remember that I was yelling to get people's attention that the fire was spreading and getting closer, that it was coming, because apparently nobody thought, even though these big spots, pockets of fire were starting on the mountain and getting closer, apparently they didn't think it was going to, like, burn the town. And so I was yelling at people, like, it's coming to the town. Do you see that wall of fire at the base of the mountains? And I remember trying to get Mother to run, because I was going to run. This sounds kind of familiar with the flood dream. So I was trying to get Mother to run, and I ended up running myself, but I don't remember if she followed or not. So I believe that one's kind of, well, maybe not necessarily self-explanatory, but there's a lot of things that are pretty obvious here. The fire, okay, mountains. And I had notes written on the back of this paper that I wrote, Mother. But we were talking about, like, the mountain or mountains being, like, kind of, like, you know, symbolic of the nation, maybe, of America. But also our own vicinity. So it's kind of freaky. Well, I guess maybe the main message of that is just the fact that it's coming. The fire is coming. Which also coincides with the Four Cups dream also. About being in the mountains and the Lord telling me that everything was going to be set on fire except for the island, which was the rock or the smooth stone in the middle of a mountain lake in the middle of the mountains. which was, of course, symbolic of Jesus or the Lord. So coincides with that. And I don't know why, but I'm always running. I should probably not run, but I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. So, yeah, I'll definitely be praying about that. Do you have any other comments on this dream, Mother?
No, not at the moment.
All right. Okay. So beginning off with that dream, that was on the 19th. 2 days later, on the 21st, I didn't realize until after I noticed that it had disappeared. I think, it was a vision, and this was the first vision I think I've actually had, because I mostly just dreamed dreams. But I really do believe this was a vision, so I'm going to go ahead and tell about, or speak about it. And this is why I titled the show Sunset. But so the other day, so on the 21st, I had just eaten dinner, and I was like, I wanted to eat something sugary, and so I went into the kitchen to, like, eat some animal crackers, because that was the only sugary thing at the moment that I could eat. But I walked into the kitchen and looked out the kitchen window, and I saw the sunset. And I was like, wow, it's such a beautiful sunset. And, you know, like, shades of purple. There's a bunch of purple, and the sun was, like, a bright yellow, and there's orange around it. And it was just totally awesome. And I was, well, okay, so keep in mind, it had been raining all day, okay? Like, stormy, like, dark charcoal gray clouds just all day, pouring rain. So I walk into the kitchen, I see the sunset. I'm like, wow, beautiful. And I'm not even realizing that the sunset is way in the northwest, like northwest-ish, like right, yeah. So I'm like, cool, it's beautiful, I feel better now. And so I eat some animal crackers, and then I walk back out onto the porch to get some fresh air because I've been in the house all day. And, okay, so wait a minute. So I see that sunset, right? Then I eat the animal crackers, which takes, like, I probably spent 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes eating those, and then I go out on the porch. And I look out on the porch, and then the whole west, like, the whole sky is just, like, dark. Like, there's no sunset. There's no nothing. And then I start freaking out, because I'm like, wait a minute. There was a sunset there. Sunset can't just disappear in, like, 60 seconds. And so I start freaking out. I'm like, Mother, was there a sunset out there just now? And she's like, no, it's been, like, dark all day. There's no sunset. What are you talking about? I'm like, I just saw a sunset. And then I'm realizing it wasn't even in the right place. It wasn't even in, well, I mean, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but the earth has been, like, shaking a lot because, the sun isn't really even setting in the west that much anymore. It's, like, slightly going northwest, which is actually interesting. But when I saw this sunset, it wasn't even, it was almost, seriously, like, almost to the north. It was not in the right place. And it just disappeared in, like, less than 3 minutes. And so I start freaking out because the sky is just dark. It's, like, almost black. And it's pouring rain. And 3 minutes ago, I'd see, oh, it's all clear sky, beautiful sunset, sunsetting. And then Mother's like, that's impossible. You can't have possibly seen a sunset. It's been dark all day, pouring rain all day. And then I start freaking out really bad, and I almost want to cry, which is weird. So I, like, I'm, like, kind of getting this lump in my throat. And so, which is kind of, you know, I view that as confirmation because, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. Because when stuff like that, like, happens, like, or about dreams, or you start talking about it, or you have, like, this mind-blown moment, or even, like, you know, wanting to cry. That happens a lot, is crying. But So then I'm like, Lord, is this like real? Is that even possible that even happened? And so I just opened my Bible up because I have two index cards that I bookmarked. And I'm like, oh, if I open it up randomly like that, it might land on those two cards. But whatever, I don't care, so I'm just going to open it up. And the first time I tried, it landed on the first index card bookmark, which was in 1 Corinthians 13. You can write that down if you want. And that was the first one. And I don't even remember bookmarking that at all, or I didn't at the time. I was like, I don't remember putting that there. That's weird. And then I'm like, hmm. And the title of that chapter, at least in my Bible, is called The Greatest is Love, and it's about, well, love. And then, so I try it again, and I open it up the second time, and it lands on Job 28, which I did remember, or I didn't remember up until that point that I had bookmarked that. And the title of that chapter in my Bible is Where is Wisdom Found? And it talks about the path. And I may read these or not, but just write it down. So Job 28, you can go back and read them if you want. And so I'm like, okay. So I take both those index cards out. So I'm like, okay, so Lord, I'm going to try this third time. If this is you, just give me like something that you want me to read, even though those previous two chapters collided with the third scripture I landed on. So I took the index cards out, and it landed like right in the middle of my Bible on Isaiah chapter 5, okay? So write down Isaiah chapter 5, and you can go to it if you like. And that is probably the most freaky thing at the moment. You know, it's weird. I can, like, kind of sense that my flesh is, like, doesn't want to, like, keep talking or read because my chest is tightening up and my throat, and it kind of almost hurts to talk right now. Okay, so... So I'm just going to go ahead. You can go back and read those chapters, 1 Corinthians 13 and Job 28. I'm not going to read those, but all they do is they supplement. They, like, collide, because that's what the Lord does. They all converge, convergence. So I'm going to read Isaiah 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Mother, feel free to interrupt if you want. I have you unmuted.
Okay.
And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. So I'm going to stop there, because I'm freaking out, because I'm like, what does a sunset even mean? Did I just, like, because the sun, right? or you can say S-O-N, that I just, like, see Jesus, you know, kind of. So when I read, when I stopped at that last verse, verse 7, I was like, that sounds like Isaiah 59. I'm just going to flip over there real quick and just read a verse. It's verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Okay, and then flip back to chapter 5 now. So that was kind of interesting, and it gets more interesting as you keep going. So verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret, the pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion, they shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar, and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. So that kind of falls in place with the dream prior to this vision of the sunset, okay? And so
can I add something in, or do you want to, you can finish your thought?
No, go ahead.
Well, it's coming back to me now, you know how the Lord lays something on you, and then one thing leads to another, to another, to another, the message that he's giving. And for me, it's really hard to put it all in order in my mind, because it just it's mind-melting to me. But as you were reading it, it was coming back to me. When you had seen the sunset, I was on the internet freaking out, if you'll remember.
Yes, I do.
And I don't remember why I was freaking out, but I was freaking out.
It was something that had to do with...
Well, no, wait, I know why I was freaking out. I know what it was about. I know what the subject was, but I don't know why my spirit was, like, really... I don't know, I just felt the heavy presence of God shaking my spirit, so to speak. So, Michaela told me about the sunset, and I knew that she had probably had a vision, so I didn't want to tell her what I had just read on the internet, even though I was all welled up with the Holy Spirit. It was just, you know, really, like, pressing on me, and it was really important at that moment, but I had to wait because I didn't want to interrupt what was happening because I knew that she had probably seen this vision because what she was telling me was impossible because the sky was just a pure sheet of, I don't even know what. There weren't even any clouds. It was more like, it was almost like a chemtrail type storm that you couldn't see individual clouds. It was just a sheet of...
Yeah, I'm remembering that.
Clouds. Yeah.
It was just gray.
Yeah, it wasn't even clouds. It was weird. But anyway... So there's no way she could have even seen it. But then when she was reading this, I realized that what I had seen at the same time, practically, that she saw the sunset, that it was related when she started reading chapter 5 of Isaiah. And it started talking about, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth.
Wasn't it about the churches and stuff placing ISIS people here?
What it was about is that the president, if that's what you want to call him, is sending over masses of, from what I've read, which I can post a link at the end of the show, but masses of Syrian refugees and others over to America, but they're not Christians. He won't allow the Christians that are being bludgeoned and persecuted and killed and maimed and defiled and running for their lives, he won't let them come over here. But he's sending all these Muslim refugees over here. And so I was rather taken back because in this chapter, the Lord is talking about Judah and about Israel. So what kept coming to my mind, what blew my mind about it was not so much that he was sending them over here. That's nothing new. We've been hearing about that for a while. The Trojan horse is already here and continuing to come. But the people that are receiving and processing these people is what blew my mind. And then I knew it was related. And there's more I can say that I'll say later. But for now... it is the people that are receiving all these refugees are the Lutheran Church. Each state has processing centers, and they're either the Lutheran churches, the Catholic churches, or the Jewish churches. And there is a link where you can look up who in your state is receiving these people and processing them. I don't know what processing them exactly entails, but I seriously doubt, obviously they're not giving them the gospel. The Lutheran churches fall into the reprobates and the sodomites and so on and so on, and you know, we know that the Catholic Church doesn't give the gospel, and nor do the Jewish churches. So I found it really interesting that they are in fact receiving these people and have no regard for the truth or the word of the Lord. And this is just my opinion. This is just what I'm seeing. But as Michaela continued to read, and we see the judgment come upon the people because they despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. And it's talking about the fire devouring the stubble, like Michaela's dream with the fire coming down the mountain, all the pockets of fire turning into one big wall of fire. I don't understand what these people think they are going to benefit. They must feel that they're going to benefit in some way by receiving these people, because this, maybe not these specific people as individuals, but these people as a nation, as the nation of Islam, are going to turn on every one of them. They're going to turn on the Jews. And they already have, but I mean, here in America, they're going to turn on the Jews, they're going to turn on the Lutherans, and they're going to turn on the Catholics, because they hate them all. They already hate them all. They hate Christians, they hate Catholics, they hate Jews. So it's perplexing to me. I don't, you know, see what they think they're going to gain by receiving and processing these people, because these people that claim the Lord God of Heaven, these churches, don't really care about the Holy One of Israel. They do their own thing, and they live their own word, and they're mingling themselves amongst these people, and it's going to turn on them.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why verse 7 immediately made me think of Isaiah 59, so you can go there, Mom. But Isaiah 59, verse 9, starting at verse 9, because those people are going to turn on them, this is what's going to happen. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. So stop.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, because, well, just finish your thought.
Okay, thanks, because you know how quickly I lose them.
Yeah.
Okay, the fact that you read, he who departs from evil maketh himself a prey, brings me to what I'm seeing with all of this, is that she had the dream of the fire devouring the stubble, and then she saw the sunset in the midst of the darkness, when there was no sun. And so if you continue to read, or if you read again what she just read in Isaiah, when it talks about the Lord will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and you keep going and you see that in chapter verse 29, their roaring shall be like a lion, they shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey. Okay, that is the remnant church who has repented and who loves the word of the Holy One of Israel and follows it to the best of their ability, and they love the Holy One of Israel. So this ensign that the Lord sends in the midst of the judgment, the remnant is being taken out. They are the prey. They take hold of the prey, and they shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. In other words, none can take it back from the safe place. So it's interesting, because we see the judgment, and then we also see the protection for those that the Lord decides to carry away safe.
Yeah,
which
it's like the ride.
It's like the ride. The ride
like
out
the,
of here.
The show I did, Be Heard, that whole dream with the Pegasus horses and everything, the eagle's wings and the horses, right? And so, and then verse 30, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. Remember the chasm, the channel, the estuary, or that ran out into the sea. You had to cross that to get into the other side, to the uninhabited wilderness, right? And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. The skies were dark, but it was a light unto the remnant.
It was a light unto the remnant, but their hearts are sorrowful because the people that are left to face the judgment are in darkness and in sorrow.
The solemn assembly.
The solemn assembly.
The holy solemnity.
Holy solemnity.
Yeah. So get this, right? I'm wondering, well, where does the sunset come in? So, but this is all being put together in the most perfect way, right? And so you go back to chapter 4, okay? Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, starting at verse 3, okay? Actually, no, you know, wait, let's just read verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense.
So this is the second Exodus.
And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. All right? That's why the sun appeared in the midst of the raining, pouring darkness, okay? And so I'm like, sun, So go back to Isaiah chapter 59, and starting at verse 16, okay, after the he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the Lord. Okay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So here you have the flood coming into the picture. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So you go right from that into chapter 60, okay? Verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Okay, so this is all happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
The judgment and the darkness is happening at the same time that the Lord is the light of the remnant, those that escape.
Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Verse 8. Okay, so I don't know what that verse is, but I just want to quote it or paraphrase it anyway, but where it talks about, and the Son of Righteousness, capital S, and the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Because I'm like, where does the Son, at least S-U-N, fit into this? Which there's plenty of verses, let me tell you, I'm not even going to list all of them. But here's something. My sister had a dream. You could probably help with this, Mother, since she's the one who told you and then you told me. But she had a dream that the moon didn't set. Like, it, she was standing up above the earth on some kind of platform, and the sky on the earth was kind of like a weird, like, hazy, orangish, weird, pollution-y kind of, like, atmosphere. And the moon did not set. It was spinning in circles across the sky, like, going in circles, like, from south to east to north to west, just in circles. It wouldn't set, you know, like, it wouldn't rise in the east and set in the west. It never set. It just kept going in circles and spinning and spinning, and she was getting dizzy. And I don't know, was there anything else I'm missing out of that, Mother? Is there any other details that she told you that you can remember?
Only that she was, like, horrified. She was horrified.
Yeah, okay. So, if you go into Isaiah 60 and read verses 19 and 20, that this is where it's that whole moon thing is fitting in too, because it says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. So that fits in also. And
right, because if the moon does not withdraw itself, that means it doesn't rise and set.
Yeah.
Right, and neither does the sun.
Yeah, so...
So it's a simultaneous thing that's happening.
Yeah, and the sunset that I saw, the sun actually wasn't even near the horizon. It was above, like, these really tall kind of tree bush things across the street. It wasn't, like, necessarily near the horizon, and yet it was a sunset. But, yeah, so it's all just really, well, symbolic, like it always is. And there's plenty of other verses that I found too, just looking up sun on Blue Letter Bible. But yeah, so Jesus is the one you need to look to during this time, if you didn't get that already. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty freaky what's going on right now. I'll tell you what. So yeah. And then I think there was, well, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily go into it in depth, but I was feeling really oppressed by my sin today, because I don't just kind of go in and out of phases like that sometimes. I just felt horrible. I'm like, Lord, just give me, like, the words that you want me to hear today. And so I just opened up my Bible randomly. And it's funny because I go right back into that exact area I just read, Isaiah 7, so that's just two chapters after Isaiah 5, which, you know, it's just like, wow. chapter 7 and then chapter 8, and chapter 8 was one of the chapters I was like, that kind of fits in with Mother's other dream about where the Lord told her, moreover, the time has come for America to be judged for the time is at hand. And the first word in that chapter is moreover. And if you read the whole chapter, I mean, just fits in with everything that we've been talking about. But yeah, I mean, I think we got the main message across for tonight, that just keep praying, you guys, and searching him, and he's coming. He is coming. And I have a feeling it's going to be in the not too distant future. So, is there anything else you want to say, Mom?
Well, I kind of wanted to read something. Where were you at in the last chapter, Isaiah 59. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Well, maybe I wasn't meant to read it because that's not what it was. Let me just take one more look here. Okay, is that the only one you were in besides 7 and 8?
I was in chapter 60 also.
Oh, maybe that was it. Let me look there real quick, and if that's not it, then I probably wasn't supposed to read it.
Oh, here's another verse I was going to read also. Go ahead and find it, Mother, if you can. But it's Isaiah 49, verses 10 and 11. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted.
Right, which is not just up with what you just read about the Lord sending the ensign. Let's see. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. So that's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. In other words, the people that are with the ensign that he sends are right out of here. It's the people that won't be weary or stumble. It's just like the first Exodus. The people, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, they weren't sick anymore. The latchet of their shoes were not broken. That's what it says about the Israelites as God led them out of Egypt. The Lord led them out. So we're looking at that again, people, and we need to be really listening for the Lord and really trying to pay attention and not get distracted by the worries of this world. So the Lord promises us this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So you can see the simultaneous things happening here in chapter 61 of Isaiah. That's Christ, of course. Verse 1 is Jesus Christ, and he's here to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prison to them that are bound. And then it goes right into 2, where it also says to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So it still continues to be, it's a simultaneous thing that's going to happen. But go read the rest of chapter 61. I'm not going to read it right now because my voice is getting out on me, but it's a beautiful promise, and it tells us exactly what we need to be doing. So that's all I have, Nick.
All righty. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I covered everything I wanted to cover. And I'm going to write all the notes out and stuff in the dream that I had and the vision too, and go ahead and the verses, and go ahead and post it on my blog, which I put in the show description. But yeah, so just keep your eyes and your ears open, everybody, because stuff's still getting really intense in the world right now. The earthquake, the Nepal earthquake, and Jade Helm, and just everything that's coming up. So
yeah, there's definitely a convergence going on for sure.
Indeed. So just be led by a spirit, you guys, and we love you all, and I guess we'll see you the next time we do a show. God bless everybody.
God bless everybody.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. Wanna be someone, laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday, lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. Purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. You wanna be real.